What is a wife?
Ooh, good question. What's a wife?
Hi, I'm Kate Purdy.
And I'm Stacey Elaine Dasho.
And this is Life Wife. Also here with us are Matt and Darren. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
I'm Matt.
I'm Darren.
And they're also our life wives.
Well, that's confusing.
Yeah, so what is a life wife? Let's explore that. Well, Stacey and I are best buds and neighbors.
Yeah.
And last year, I was busy with a job and needed help. I moved into this big house, a few houses down from Stacey. And as soon as we both sort of saw it, we thought this could be a great community center, a great place to support our friends who are artists and writers, and also talk about environmentalism and native cultures, alternative healing, all things that are our passions and that we share with other friends, and use this incredible space to do that. And Stacey said, well, I'd love to help you make that a reality. Let's do it together. And she came over in the morning as I was busy with this writing job and helped make breakfast and make lunch for me to take to work and also walk the dog and took care of the garden. And we started creating different events together. So at work, when I would show up with my lunch pail and my baked goods from Stacey to share with everyone, they started joking, oh, you have a wife. And I was like, yeah, we are sort of each other's wives in our lives. We support each other, take care of each other. So we became life wives.
Yeah, and that's kind of what the term has come to mean for us. It's about, you know, helping take care of each other, building a home, and supporting one another.
So what is a wife?
Well, a wife, according to my friend, the Wikipedia.
You guys are such close friends.
I mean, we're the best friends, really. It says that it is actually a Proto-Germanic term that means woman. It's in Middle English, it means Beowulf. Ha! Just kidding, guys. That's not what it means. It means wife.
Well, that cleared that up.
And according to the Midwives Alliance, another good friend of mine, another website that's a great friend of mine.
I'm actually a website.
Yes. My wife is a website. What am I going to do? That sounds like a weird 80s movie. But yeah, the midwives provide women with individualized care uniquely suited to their physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and cultural needs. Midwifery is a woman-centered, empowering model of maternity care. I like the word empowering there, which is nice. And this idea of like mothering, like a wife can mother without literally being a mother. Does this make sense?
Yeah, I think so. Well, it's interesting. When you were getting married, we talked a lot actually about what a wife is and that shift in identity and what it would mean. Because I feel like culturally, there's sort of still this remnant that wife has a negative connotations. Like it's someone who spends all your money and doesn't do what you want, even though you give her money.
Yeah, yeah, it's weird. I mean, it's interesting because even like the show, like Housewives of Atlanta or Housewives of everything. I feel like so few of those women are actually housewives. So it's such a weird. It's one of those things where you're watching these lives of women. It's the lives of women, not necessarily just like a wife that's like married. And there is like a connotation sometimes with just even it conservatively, like if you are a wife, like what's expected of you, by society maybe.
And you are married. You're
an
actual wife.
I am an actual wife. I have an actual legal marriage.
And your husband is Alan, who's wonderful.
He's a delight.
What's it like being a wife for you? Was there a transition? Did you feel a shift happen?
Yeah, I mean, there's something really nice about, like, and as far as, you know, like, legally being married to someone that, like, a team, it feels like a team. Like, you're kind of, like, have, like, a support person. And obviously we have, like, our life wives who also provide support in different ways. But also having, like a legal, like traditional, quote unquote, not traditional in a conservative way, but just like a legal way, marriage.
It has made a difference. I mean, we were together for like, I don't know, 8 years before we got married. And to me, it was sort of like a ritual that we had where we were like, this is going great. Let's keep going. And we had a lot of people in our community be a part of our ritual. That was sort of really special. And I think it really, the love that we felt, that people felt for us as a couple, really inspired us to, in our relationship. And in that whole ritual really did change, I think, in a positive way, like how we function together, how we work together, how we fight together, how we love together. I don't know, guys.
Even though I feel independent, you know, I do feel like we both are, you know, supporting one another, and that feels nice. That feels sort of like a journey that I'm happy to take. It's like there's a partner sort of in the seat of the car with me, which is so nice.
I think you and Alan, because you've had a longer relationship, and you've told me that you feel like you've sort of moved through different versions of yourselves and sort of allowed yourselves to change and accept these different versions of yourselves.
Yeah.
I think I didn't totally feel that in the marriage. And I don't know how much, it's hard to know like what is what. And in some of the marriage books I read, one of them in particular talked about sort of having to merge your marriage maps, like your expectations of what marriage will be. And I think ultimately Joe and I had very different marriage maps based on our parents' marriages. Joe and I met, I was performing in an improv group at Improv Olympic, and a few of his friends were in the group, and he came to see them perform. And then afterwards, he approached me in the bar. But we were both dating other people at the time. And then we started hanging out sort of as friends and friend groups. And then he and his girlfriend broke up. And then we just kept hanging out. And then there was, like, the moment on the front steps of my apartment where we should have been, like, the moment we kissed. And he was like, so you're dating someone? I was like, yeah, good night. But that relationship had been over for a while. Like, in all honesty, it had been over for a year out of a three-year relationship. He's a wonderful human being, but it was done. And no one had called it, again, because I'm terrified of conflict and honesty. that's the reason I'm afraid to get into relationships, is getting out of them. It's so hard.
I mean, I'm really lucky, I think, because like as I've just grown up with my husband. So we knew each other when we were 19. So, or I was 19, he was 18. And
Robin the Cradle.
You know, as a wife does. And I, you know, we were friends and we were like actually acquaintances. And then I went to graduate school and then came out to visit California, and there were a few years, like missing years. And then we kind of reconnected, and then we had a long distance relationship kind of for a while where we'd talk on the phone a lot and get to know each other in that way. And then visit each other, fly out, and then I moved out to California with my friend. And we ended up continuing to date, and then we moved in together the next year. When we did get married, first of all, my mom wasn't expecting it. She had surrendered, like, that I would be, like, living in sin her whole life, you know, like, that's my daughter, the crazy one. Or maybe she didn't think that, but in my head she thought that, and maybe that's not true, I don't know. But it was so nice. I felt like it was personally had like a lot of anxiety about wearing a dress in front of people or like being fancy in front of people, because I don't think of myself in that way, and I don't like to get dressed up too often, and I feel really nervous when people are watching me, which I mean, I'm kind of coming out of that phase of my life now, which is nice. I've been in situations where I have to kind of do more things, and I like it. But at that time, you know, I really hadn't done much, and I didn't like the idea of people watching me, like, it just felt really stressful and having to, I don't know. So that performance aspect of like being at a wedding, I've never really associated with. So a lot of our ceremony was about the community also like sharing stories about Alan or myself and asking each of us to sort of honor the stories from the community. So it wasn't just about us.
Well, as a testament to, I think, you and Alan and your wedding, which was beautiful, and people really opened their hearts and expressed themselves and their love for you, which was fantastic. Joe, my ex-husband, who I was married to for 2 years, and I are both close friends with you guys, and Joe reached out to me and was like, we should go to this together. And we had been divorced for maybe 3 months. It had not been a long time at all.
Right.
But I think because we felt like, well, we love Stacey and Alan. We love each other. It just didn't work for us. We should go together. So it's a really interesting experience because I had just like partly from stress, mostly from stress, I think. And also I'd gone off my birth control pill. I broke out in acne. And so, Joe, we were texting, and he was like, just so you know, I shaved, and it was a terrible mistake, and I feel really self-conscious. Like, just so you know, I'm totally broken out, and I feel really self-conscious.
I thought you guys looked beautiful.
Oh, thank you. So it was just funny that we were both kind of, like, in these weird transitions, sort of, and then showing up there. I think we pulled up at the valet at the same time, and because we dated for 3 years before we were married, so 5 years collectively, sort of always going to things together in the same car and then having to negotiate when we're leaving and figure out sort of how we're moving within a party together or separately to sort of be in this space together that is about celebrating you guys and love and romance and show up in separate cars and then kind of figure out if we're going to hang out or not at the reception and how we do that and how we navigate that and how free are we really.
But I think also one thing that I have observed, which I really love, is that you both have, from my perspective, like had such a lovely divorce. I feel like you're both so respectful of each other and speak positively of each other. And I think socially as a friend, you know, when your friends get divorced, it can be tricky. But Alan and I have been able to really maintain friendships with both of you guys, and that's been such a nice thing to not feel like you have to sort of pick one side or the other, because obviously you two still do love each other, and that's very apparent, and that there's like a, not like a romantic love, but like a respect love.
We talk about it actually, that we feel like family. We feel like, you know, we're brother and sister, and we're going to be each other's wives.
Yeah.
No matter what, and we do really love and appreciate each other and respect each other.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's a real rare thing, I think.
Yeah, and it does feel super liberating to be like, we can be divorced and still be friends, yeah. Honestly. And even when we were getting divorced, I said to his mother and my mother, listen, we're getting a divorce, but this doesn't mean that we don't have to be each other's lives anymore. We can still be family. Joe and I are still going to love each other, and we're still going to be each other's lives, and it's okay for us to all still be each other's lives. And his mother and my mother, both separate of each other, said, you can do that?
Yeah.
So I think there is kind of, you can do that. It is possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, what about you guys? Are you divorced?
3 times. I haven't been married yet.
Nor have I.
So how do you feel about marriage? Like, are you excited to get married? Do you want to get married? Are you not excited?
I'm biting at the bit.
Yeah?
Yeah, I want to get married. That's something that I want out of life, just because I want a partner. I want somebody to spend my nights with and wake up to in the morning.
Do you think that there's a stereotype of like a man who's 27 or of that age, like late 20s, like not wanting to get married, or men in general not wanting to get married?
Well, I say that, but in my last relationship, part of the reason why we broke up was because I don't want to get married right now. Mm-hmm. So I do, I say that I want to get married, but I don't want to right now. I think there is some truth to that, that men my age, young men in their 20s, have a fear of that sort of level of commitment, and whether I can just say I have a fear of that commitment and whether I can like live up to it, and in terms of like being a good partner, being a good husband, being a good life wife to my wife.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
But I also have fears about like fidelity and
Well, in terms of faithfulness and fidelity, would you ever have a marriage that's an open marriage?
I would not. I'm like way too insecure for something like that. Like that would not work for me.
Right. Do you think you can be, are you worried about being faithful, or are you worried about your wife being faithful?
No, I'm worried about myself. I haven't cheated on anyone in the past, but I just have that anxiety for some reason. Like, what if I pick the wrong person and then I meet someone else? It's so stupid. Like, I don't...
It's not stupid. It's, I mean, not, I think, stupid. It sounds like, I mean, that's why a lot of marriages break up, because they end up meeting... They start changing and meeting someone else that fulfills new needs. So I don't think it's... That's crazy.
And it's also easy to be in a marriage and take each other for granted, and then you meet someone who loves you and finds you interesting in a way that you haven't felt in a while, and it's tempting. Mm-hmm. So it's always a challenge to sort of maintain a marriage. And I think having the expectations of there being a limited aspect to the marriage in terms of faithfulness or what you are to each other, that it is scary. It's kind of... How do you manage that? How do you sort of manage sort of what you want out of marriage versus what you are afraid you're capable of, or how you might fail at that high expectation you have for it?
Yeah, and I think sometimes, you know, it's a matter of, like, compromise versus constraint. You know, a lot of wonderful art can come from constraints. It allows you to focus. It allows you to sort of really develop and deepen. And sometimes a compromise can feel like not the same thing. It can feel like you're surrendering a part of yourself to someone else, or not living fully in some way. So I think it's a matter of translation, depending on your situation and the person you're with, and thinking of marriage in a way that is not monogamous as sort of like you're compromising yourself, but you're allowing yourself to sort of deepen with someone else and focus and sort of develop and grow.
This is something that you talked about, that you and Alan have changed as people, and you have both been able to change together and like be accepting of those changes. And
Yeah, I mean, an example would be like when I first met Alan, he was more so a writer. So I was under the impression we would be living both as writers, and he still writes and is doing a lot of writing, actually, but he's become more of an actor now. And that's not something I ever imagined I would ever be married to an actor. It wasn't something where I'm like, I'm going to be married to an actor one day. And now I am. And that was an adjustment when that was, because it's a big lifestyle change. And like, because he's on television, you know, that's another like change in sort of not in how we feel about each other, but just how our life is altered, because it's somewhat, I mean, it's not like, you know, he's not Brad Pitt or anyone, but I mean, it's something where just your lifestyle alters. So you have to kind of adjust accordingly. So there's always been changes that we've gone through.
But that's another anxiety, another fear that I have about getting into a marriage and the person changing, myself changing, and then us no longer being compatible.
The cool thing, I think, is that, like, there, I do believe that even though we change maybe careers and we change certain desires at different times and wants and things like that, I think there is, like, a core sense of a person that I personally feel like having worked, I worked with Alzheimer's patients for a year. And that was a really life change. I think that really influenced how I feel actually about marriage, or maybe even about people, where I do think despite like memory, despite, and also, you know, my father had brain cancer, so he lost a lot of his identity throughout the end of his life. And I think that, you know, yes, we're all these fleeting sort of like dreamy things, but there is some kind of core quality that's almost beautifully unnameable, untouchable. And that is really when you found someone that you're just attracted to in that way. Not, it's not just physical. It's not just, you know, intellectual. It's this other sort of intrinsic way of being. Like, you admire how they live in the world. That is really what it's about. And, you know, just kind of making that connection and staying with it as you sort of each continue to sort of shed your skin and move. There is something that is, I think, stable.
I think for me, what I've learned from being married and divorcing is that life is really messy and that you actually can't control any aspect of it. And you won't be able to control those things, and they may happen. But all you can control is how you feel about it and how you deal with it. And divorce was really difficult for me because I tend to be someone who sees herself as successful. And that, for me, was a failure. And so I just ran my body and my brain against the wall trying to make it work. Not because it was the best thing for us, but because I didn't want to fail at marriage. And then came to the realization, like, I can't control Joe and I can't control the situation. And the only thing I can do is let go of it entirely. And that's actually the only way I can demonstrate that I love him, is by not trying to hold on to this and make it something and make it succeed for my own benefit. And in doing that, we were able to actually love each other.
I feel like that's true in my relationship as well. Like, there are times when it feels like, oh, like, this is difficult. And in that moment, when I personally do sort of recognize the difficult, instead of like, I don't know, trying to change myself or trying to, you know, I feel like it is like a letting go and just seeing what happens. And so far, you don't know when you let it go. I don't know. You never really know how it'll turn out.
Yeah. And so now I don't see the divorce as a failure at all, but as a really incredible success for us both. About John Lennon and Yoko Ono, and I didn't realize she had been married twice before. So you can be married many times in your life, and it can be a wonderful experience.
It's true.
I was wondering what sort of roles in a marriage you struggled with or realized that you like.
Yeah, so in my marriage, Joe and I kind of, I guess, subconsciously realized, I don't know if we've ever had an explicit conversation about it, even to this day, but that we had different expectations of what the marriage would be. We did like 6 counseling sessions ahead of time, and we also, the New York Times had this list of the top 10 questions you should discuss with your partner before you get married. And we did them before we moved in together, actually. But there are questions like, if one of your parents gets sick and the other one has to go home to take care of them, are you willing to do that? If one of you has a job offer that is the dream job, are you willing to move for that person's dream job? And we did them, but the answers were sort of like,
like they were bits.
Yeah, like we joked through them. And I think when we did those 6 sessions of counseling before we got married, the problem in the relationship that Joe felt was that I wasn't sort of like supportive and in a way sort of enmeshed enough as a partner. He felt like I was sort of too fiercely independent. I always wanted to do my thing. I was kind of stubborn and willful. And the therapist advised me to just sort of be more loving and supportive and nurturing. And actually recommended I check out Dr. Laura Schlesinger. And I really had a hard time swallowing that, as you can imagine. He's like, I know she's sort of I don't know what you like, right wing maybe, or
yeah, conservative,
and not sort of in line with my education. So I didn't listen to her. Maybe I should have. But I did try to sort of be a better partner. And I think that led Joe to believe that I would always be that way. And then over time, I kind of just slipped back into my natural state of being. And the times that we really bumped heads were when I would just do what I wanted to do and wouldn't have open communication with him. Like, one of them was, I really wanted to go to Ecuador for a few weeks with my friend Liz, who was going to be studying Spanish down there. She was on break from medical school, and I had some time where Joe would be working, but I was off of work. And so my approach was terrible, because I knew that he would have a problem with me going away for that long, but I also knew that I wanted to do it, and I had a problem with not being able to do what I wanted to do. So he was watching TV, and I just approached him. I was like, hey, so I'm about to buy a ticket to go to Ecuador for 3 weeks with my friend Liz. If that's a problem, let me know, because I'm about to buy this ticket. He's like, I guess you're going to buy a ticket and go to Ecuador for 3 weeks. Thanks for the conversation about it. And later, and it was rough. Like, when I went to Ecuador, it was really rough between us, and when I got back, it was really rough. I mean, it was just sort of like an ice storm. It wasn't, you know, that's just what it was. It was just sort of like an emotional ice storm. And I think when we finally talked about it, it's like, why did you assume I would say no? Why didn't you have a conversation with me about it? And I didn't really know at that time why, but it wasn't until, I think, like 6 months we were divorced that I realized, as a kid, if I asked my parents to do something and they said no, I couldn't do it. But if I just went ahead and did whatever I wanted to do, they are so afraid of conflict and confrontation that nothing would happen. So that just became my way of being, and then I had this sort of like residual idea that if I ask someone for something or and granted, looking to be granted permission, it'll be a denial. So it's just amazing sort of the things you're carrying around without knowing you're carrying around and why you're sort of behaving the way you're behaving and really not knowing why.
Well, a lot of that does come, at least I've noticed in my relationships, like my model is my parents, and I like see some of the things that I'm repeating in my relationships that I really don't like about my parents' relationship. And that's kind of strong, but like my parents argue a lot, and that's just something that I'm used to. Like I see that as like a form of love, and so I do that in relationships, and I argue with people, and I'm attracted to people who I can argue with. But it's so exhausting, and I like really don't like that about myself, but that's the model that I have in my parents.
And I feel really happy being single. And it's interesting because I feel like there's such a strong story that we tell as human beings about us having to sort of couple up and who you're going to be with, who you're dating, you know, how is it going to end? Instead of like, oh, we're actually always constantly in flux and there's nothing wrong with being single at all. I was talking to my friend Mark about this. Because she was sort of saying, don't worry, like, when the right person is meant to come into your life, they'll come into your life. And I was like, maybe not. Who knows? Yeah. Like, maybe that's not my story. Maybe not everyone's story is that they need to get married. I mean, maybe it will happen, maybe it won't. But I feel like we're kind of addicted in a way, or we have a mindset that that's the absolute way things are or will be, or that should be everyone's goal.
Yeah.
And maybe the next step and how we define marriage is there's sort of a freedom from it. Like, it's a choice.
Yeah. I kind of see marriage as sort of like this really long, creative, like, art project where you're just, like, having this huge collaboration with someone else. And essentially, that's cool. Like, in your life, like, if you can have that for, like, I don't know, 5 years, that's great. 3, like, 10, 20, 50, like, it's just a wonderful thing to have in your life, on your whole life timeline. I think because we expect you get married and that's the end of your story, but it's not.
Yeah. Well, when what Mark said to me is like, you realize you sound terrified. And I was like, yeah, I realize that.
I don't know. I was wondering, one thing I'm very curious about is, like, because the word wife is so old-fashioned, there are parts of my life that I do feel are kind of old-fashioned. But, like, maybe old-timey is a better word for it. But, I mean, I do enjoy, like, taking care of people. And I do love, like, cooking. And sometimes I don't even mind cleaning. I'm not a big fan all the time, but I do kind of find it to be sort of meditative. And then I love crafting. I love sewing. I love cooking. Like, there are things that I just love that are traditionally, like, a wife's duties. But I don't think of myself, I guess, as sort of, trapped by it or, like, tricked into it. I just like doing it. It's like my great-grandmother was really cool at stuff like that, and she was so fierce and independent. And, she, like, helped her husband, like, build a house. And then she also, like, had a garden and made all these really neat things that are sort of domestic. But I don't know. I don't think that's, like, a negative thing. But some people might. I don't know.
Well, yeah, it seems ultimately that everyone should feel free to be exactly who they are and do what makes them happy.
Yeah. I mean, we're sort of all constantly reinventing terms just to suit our own definition. That's why I think life wife is kind of cool.
And you have the burden of having two of us.
I wouldn't change it for the world.
A woman who can support two people.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I love doing all the dishes. And
when Stacey first started coming over and making breakfast, Alan came over like the first day to have breakfast with us, and he was like, "So you just eat oatmeal, Kate? That's all you eat? You never have like scrambled eggs or like an omelet?" Or... And then he never came back.
Yeah. I know. I do like some oatmeal. Like, I gotta go home and make some eggs for someone else now. Oh boy.
Poor Stacey.
Oh man,
she's got two of us. Do we want to do the book review? Did you have something you wanted to review?
I didn't know what book to review. So I was like, oh, maybe I'll do a movie review. And then I was like, I'm going to search the word wife here on the Netflix and see what movies pop up. And then I'll watch this movie and I'll review it. But then I got so like intrigued by all the titles with wife in the title. And I was like, oh, it'd be much more interesting if I were to tell Kate the title and she'd have to guess what the plot was. So I don't know if you want to play this game or not.
Yes, I'd love to play.
But I think you'd be very good at it. And I'm very curious. Okay, so start with what came up first. And it's the cook, the thief, the wife, and the lover. What's the plot of that?
The twist in this movie is it's all the same person.
What? That's amazing. And yeah. I wish that were like the synopsis of any movie where the twist is revealed. No summary, just the twist. That's what I want in every synopsis. Okay, let's go to the next one. My wife and his wife. Oh no, my friend and his wife. My friend and his wife.
Again, the same person.
That is very good. Okay, here's the next one. The fierce wife.
Ah, this is a recreation of the Hulk.
After she hasn't had any beauty rest, she turns into the fierce
wife. Don't wake her up. Mama's sleeping.
And then the next one is all wifed out.
Oof.
Oof. Which I wish I could say was done in 1950, but it was 2013 title.
What do you think that show's about?
Someone's just sick of wives. They have had enough of the wife. Wives, plural.
I mean, it could be about Mormons. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm all wives out. I got 13 wives and 14 horses.
I mean,
I'm done.
Living the wife life.
Yeah.
It's a whole other life. I mean, that's very confusing. Oh, man. Okay. And then the next one is McMillian and wife.
McMillian wife?
McMillian and wife.
McMillian and wife. This is obviously about the creator of McDonald's. And what happened
McMillions.
When they reached a million customers, he got a wife.
That's amazing. A wife is a gift. Yes, this is actually, I was curious about this one. It's a Rock Hudson TV show from 1976. And the thing said, thanks to his wife Sally's keen eye for clues, San Francisco Police Commissioner Stuart Mack McMillian often bags the culprit in this crime drama.
Ah.
I was like, oh, so he'd be nothing without his wife, pretty much, and she just doesn't even get a name in the title. Interesting, 1976, let's date that.
Yeah.
Right in the throes of the women's movement. I don't know.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Cool, that was really fun. Thanks, Stace.
Not having seen any of those movies, how many rings do they get?
Everyone gets a million rings.
A million rings. Ring that bell. I don't know.